illness, you should consult a physician or health professional directly before beginning or changing any course of health treatment. You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
And just a reminder, we'll be taking your calls at 1-800-580-2372 in about a half an hour from now. And you can call in about 20 minutes time. We will be taking your calls and setting things up in order. And again, for those people who called last week who had questions and wanted to get on, please call in at that time and we'll get you on first on the show. So it's 1-800-580-2372 for your calls. The Competition Bureau, an independent law enforcement agency of Industry Canada, recently released a report investigating the pricing and marketing of generic medications in Canada. Their findings were similar to those reported by Brett Skinner of the Fraser Institute several months ago. The Competition Bureau has concerns that despite strong competition between generic medication manufacturers, the benefits of this competition in the form of reduced cost is not being passed on to the consumer. The Canadian Association of Chain Drugstores strongly disagrees with the Competition Bureau's conclusion that the benefits of this competition are not reaching the Canadian public in the form of lower prices. And joining us today, I'm pleased to introduce Mr. Bruce Cran, President of the Consumers Association of Canada, who has a different tack on what the Canadian Association of Chain Drugstores has to say. And good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
What was the impetus for the Competition Bureau's investigation, and what was the source of their data?
I believe that the Competition Bureau were doing some studies on various professional groups, and the pharmaceutical world was the first one that they tackled. And I believe that they looked at all sorts of data that was publicly available, and in addition to that, they interviewed a selection of people from the industry.
What proportion of prescription medications were sold to the public in a generic format? And I guess last year might be difficult to tabulate that, but in say 2 years ago, do they have data to show what proportion of generic medications are being prescribed and sold?
I believe that's in the report, which I don't have right in front of me where I am at the moment. However, the information from 2005 in money, we figure was in excess of $3 billion per year. That's from their report.
Now, the impetus of this investigation was in terms of competition, and usually the theory goes that competition breeds lower prices. Those lower prices are passed on to consumers. So my question is, how do generic companies compete to have their products on the pharmacist shelves?
Well, what they're doing here is they're selling the drugs at a predetermined price. I believe it has until recently been the price prescribed by the Ontario drug plan, which was the largest. And then what the generics were doing were paying a kickback whatever they want to call it, a secret kickback, because none of us knew much about it at all, of 40% plus, and some, but that's about the average, to the pharmacists, the pharmacies, the pharmacy companies, I guess would be the best term, to sell their stuff. When you say putting it on the shelf, I suppose that's a fair enough term, but the most pharmacies only sell one or two types of a particular generic drug. There are 15 or 16 manufacturers, but I don't know of any pharmacy that actually shelves for sale products from all of those. So the Competition Bureau, I know, feel that to some degree anyway, that shows that there's a form of competition within this industry. However, it goes into the pharmacy and never comes out the other end and benefits for consumers at all. The pharmacies now are claiming that they provide blood pressure machines and talk nicely to customers and hold their hands or whatever they might be doing, and that's costly. But I don't know of any consumer that asks for that. What we need as consumers is the best price that we can get, and we sure aren't getting that in Canada.
Now, so to try to understand this a bit further, there are 16 companies that are competing with each other, and each of them then offers a specific rebate to the pharmacy or the the pharmacy as a means of having their product carried by that pharmacy. Does that mean that they then, these incentives will change from company to company to try and entice the pharmacy to purchase their particular product?
That seems to be the understanding we're asked to grasp here. I imagine if you were a pharmacy with drug A and you were paying 30, you wouldn't be as a percent kickback. You wouldn't be as attractive to a pharmaceutical or pharmacy, shall we say, if you were paying 40.
Now,
so that is thought to be competition. However, the only competition consumers are interested in the ones that benefit them, and
right.
I don't see that we're getting any benefits at all under the present system, and all these funny little things that pharmacies are saying they provide are not something that we're seeking, and we certainly deplore the bizarre way this market is put together at the moment. It's been a very secretive process. We've been looking at it for 5 years, and
mm-hmm.
we've never been able to confirm or deny or get denials or confirmations, if you will, from anybody that this was the way business was done. So what this report from the Competition Bureau has certainly done is thrown light on the way this industry operates.
Now, there is also the question of the actual cost of the medications to the consumer or to the insurance company that provides it to their clients, or for governments who have on their formularies coverage for those medications. My understanding is that the cost of the medications is a set price that the government has essentially said, we are paying X amount of dollars for this product, and it's set so that the rebates that the pharmacy gets, they get the rebate, their cost becomes less, but they still charge the amount the government has mandated that cost to be. Is that a fair way of looking at that?
That's pretty much it. We find that very bizarre.
So I guess, you know...
What it does, it creates a false price, an unreal price that is being paid. Why, for instance, under these circumstances, wouldn't provincial governments and private plans and insurers deal directly
mm-hmm.
with the manufacturers of generic drugs and eliminate this 40% kickback to pharmacies?
I guess you can also say that the other question would be if the government is aware of this practice and they are aware that the average rebate is X percent, to say, well, you know what, the amount we're going to pay for those medications now is going down by X percent to save money.
The price structure of almost anything originates at the manufacturer, so you've got a price. It's sold with a nominal marginal discount of some type to the next in line, which should be the pharmacy. And that should be the wholesale price. Then you've got the retail price, which the pharmacy would clip on a margin and then mm-hmm. sell it to the plans. The fact that there's a kickback in here of 40% or roughly a third of the total price at what you might call retail level skews the whole thing. And this is why, I guess, we're paying so much for pharmaceuticals under this particular weird scheme.
Now, what the Canadian Association of Chain Drugstores, and you've mentioned this earlier, that they've responded by stating that the rebates, what they call the rebates or manufacturer or professional allowances, and I'm quoting from their press release, keep pharmacies economically viable, able to provide both basic and extended services that benefit patients, and to invest in pharmacy innovation to further enhance the practice, including new technology and services. You made mention that this really isn't what is going on, that this is a practice that's been going on for a long time, even prior to the advent of these new technology and services. Is that not essentially what has happened?
Yes, it is. I don't know how many years it's been going on for. That wasn't commented, but we're talking about $1 billion a year across Canada. We're probably talking... we figured out this morning 200 million in BC, and I don't know how many years it's been going on. But why should a group that is buying a particular product from a particular store be subsidizing services that these people say in the pharmacy that they're providing? these services seem to me to be totally unsolicited. But in addition to that, why on earth would they expect a group of people, why would they take out a group of people like those that buy genetically,
generic,
those that buy generic drugs, be called upon to subsidize whatever is happening in these pharmacies? It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Mm-hmm. People don't want to have their hand held by the pharmacist. They don't want to, maybe they like the blood pressure machine there or whatever there might be. But they, any services that are provided for, people expect to pay for. But these profits that we're talking about are so large, so huge. They're going to the bottom line of the pharmacies. They're not. There's much more money there than would be required for these simple little things that they supply that were not solicited in the first place. But if they were, they should be charging for those. Mm-hmm. So this is all transparent, and we can see what's going on. Why this big bizarre secret program to pull 40% off the top of the wholesale price of these drugs? It makes no sense at all.
Now, there is a law, you mentioned a law in Ontario, I think it's Bill 102 in Ontario, that permits the practice of the rebates to continue.
I'm aware that's there, but I don't approve. You know, we don't approve of that.
Right.
And I think that shouldn't be there either. I know it's 20%. They've already reduced the price that they'll pay for generic drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And they've cut from 40 to 20 the possible rebate. But there's a couple of things. I suppose that might be transparent. But why are they paying that? What do we as consumers get mm-hmm. for that 20% or that 40%? At this moment, that's very obscure to me, and the silly excuses they've come up with for grabbing our money don't cut ice with me.
Well, the other question I have is that, in reference to Ontario only, because that the experience I have is in Ontario, Ontario, through the Ontario Health Insurance Program, or OHIP, which is the publicly funded healthcare system in Ontario, mm-hmm. is now allowing pharmacists to bill that to bill OHIP for services that you just spoke of, providing review of their medications and talking about drug interactions. And they're allowed to bill $50 for that service if they provide 20 minutes of service to that patient. So the question I have, though, is that if the Canadian Association of Chain Drug Stores is saying that this money is being used to help these pharmacies become economically viable, the government is still providing them with a payment for those services. So does this constitute a form of extra billing in this case?
I would say it's certainly worth someone having a look at it. But don't forget, it's not only the government program, it's the private programs and insurance companies. I've never heard of insurance companies going along mm-hmm. with paying anything more than they have to. So that's sort of a surprise to us as well. But we get calls from patients all the time who object to being spoken to about their drugs across the counter of a pharmacy. And I know some pharmacies have got little stalls and whatever, but an hour or two ago I came off the phone for a guy that was very upset because there'd been some discussion about his Viagra pill delivery across the counter where several people near him could hear it. We've had other calls, you know, over the last 6 or 8 months that I can recall people asking us, you know, should they be paying pharmacists for certain little seminars and things that they hold. I don't have any problem with that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. If there's a price on having a discussion or a consultation with your pharmacy and you agree to pay it, that's fine. But this is ludicrous. What are the services we're paying, or the government plans paying the pharmacists for, if consumers generally don't understand what it is they can ask for? It's not much of a bargain. And 20 minutes is a long time. 20 minutes would be way too long a time to have someone discussing your medical problems on an open counter. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes is a very long time. So I don't understand any of that. I think it's got to be explained to us in much more detail, so that we can examine it and decide whether it's worthwhile. And if services are being provided that consumers don't want, why is that?
Mm-hmm.
The main thing that consumers want is drugs at a reasonable price. You can still go across the border right down to Mexico and pay a tenth of the price on some drugs that are actually manufactured in Canada, shipped down there, and sold for, say, $5 a container against $50 up here. Now, I know all these arguments about, you know, we've got health plans and all the rest of it, and that's fine, but this is still happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's got to, you know, this whole thing has got to be pulled apart and put together in a way that people can see transparently what is going on.
Now, Federal Health Minister Tony Clement has expressed his concern over the drug pricing regimen as well. What would be some of the suggestions you would give him if given the opportunity to propose, regarding the Competition Bureau's findings, and what you would like to see happen as a means of, getting the message out to the general public? So I guess my question is, what advice would you have for the health minister, and in a way that would make this understandable to the general public?
Well, I think that you're going a little bit further than our organization wants to take this. We identify problems and make them known to the public. We see that as our role at the moment. The Competition Bureau is continuing to study this issue and will be coming out with some recommendations for remedies. So Mr. Clement can feast himself on those. When they come out, we may have some comments about those suggestions, but we're not making any in advance.
Well, Mr. Krenn, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to discuss this issue and providing some food for thought for our listeners, especially many of them go to their pharmacies and get their medications, and gives them maybe a chance to look and see how things are working, what the prices are, and the services that they're getting when they go for those particular medications.
Well, thanks very much for the time, and I'd like to hear from anybody that has questions of us. We can be reached at info@consumer.ca, and we're more than happy to talk to anyone that contacts us.
Mr. Grant, thank you very much again.
Thanks, Doctor.
Bruce Krenn is president of the Consumers Association of Canada. Coming up, some news briefs, and once again, we'll be taking your calls at 1-800-580-2372 if you'd like to call in now and get in line. Love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening.